other for his rifle.
You should have told us,
Dev's mom said. I didn't know we'd need it for sure. I'll track the guy, take him out, and we can approach from the street. Much easier.
Do we wait for the 10 minutes to be up, or go now?
Sierra said. I'll go now, Jackson said. Murphy's Law always applies, like Wes says. So get it done now, and we'll have 5 minutes to fix whatever the hell goes wrong.
Go on, Dev said. Take out the man if you see him. Give me the bolt cutters in case I need them around front.
You strong enough?
We'll find out.
And he'd be better at it than his mom, with her shrapnel-damaged arm. Or Sierra, whose lower body strength was impressive, but whose upper body strength wasn't nearly as good as his. Jackson attached his silencer. It's homemade, he said. But it should be good for one or two shots.
Don't miss, Dev's mom said.
Don't plan to. They all crawled out from the fenced-in area, but the three of them held back in the shadows, while Jackson edged up the fence line toward the street. In a few seconds, he waved them forward. He stood, facing the lit-up building, and waved them insistently on to the front of the jail. There was no one on the street right now but the four of them. The front of the jail had only a single line of fencing, and a gate that locked with a key. Dev took the bolt cutters and braced himself for a battle, but the blades cut through the first link easily. He was deciding whether to cut out the lock, go for the hinges, or cut out a big hole through the gate when his mom put a hand on his arm. He looked at her. She was both pointing up and looking up. It took him a half second to see it. The top of the gate had no coiled barbed wire on it, like the rest of the fence did. Okay. That made it far easier. He handed her his rifle, Sierra the bolt cutters, and climbed quickly. Pausing at the top, straddling the top bar, he reached his hand down for his rifle. His mom gave it to him and handed hers up as well. He slung them both around his neck and took one step on the links before jumping down to the walkway that led to the front door. The rifles bounced off his chest and each other as he landed. And he was glad that his father wasn't here to lecture him on taking better care of his weapons. He took his mother's in hand and reached up the other hand to offer her help, but she was climbing down just fine. Then Sierra started her climb, her rifle over her shoulder. It banged once against the fencing, but no one responded to the sound. The bolt cutter handles were silhouetted against the light, sticking out of her backpack. She sure did have strong legs to be able to climb it with the extra weight. When they were all three over the fence, Jackson came to it, walking backward.
I'll keep watch from there, he said, pointing to a scraggly low bush planted in the verge of grass between sidewalk and street. Yell if you need me.
Dev was pretty sure he'd know if they needed him by the screaming and gunshots. He hated that there were enemies this close. If their plan went to hell inside the jail, he could imagine 2 dozen men pouring out of the front door of that building over there and coming this way. 4 of them trapped in jail trying to fight their way out did not appeal at all. No, wait. It wouldn't be only 4 of them. They carried the 4 extra weapons, 2 rifles and 2 semi-auto pistols they'd taken off the dead attackers. And so if they could get into their cells, there'd be 8 armed people, and a jail might be a pretty good place to defend from. Sure wouldn't have to worry about anyone climbing in the windows behind you. There weren't any. He realized he was losing focus on the moment, worrying about what might or might not happen next. Sierra leaned close to him. He could smell her scent.
What now?
Try the door, he supposed. There was a curved metal handle on the front door, and he walked up and pulled at it, but it was also locked. He looked to his mother, their mission leader, who shrugged. Then she aimed her rifle at the lock, lowered her rifle, and shrugged again. No, definitely not the way to do it. Okay, so what to do? Then he remembered the men inside complaining about food being late. Was it made here or delivered? Hell, he didn't know. Faking a food delivery was a better idea than shooting at a metal door and alerting everyone for blocks around that they were here.
If 10 minutes had already passed, no one might answer the knock, but he would try anyway. He knocked on the door. When that didn't do anything, he pounded on it and rattled it. He was aware of the movement of his mother and Sierra as they backed off a few steps and raised their weapons. He sure hoped Jackson was watching across the street to see if anyone over there was hearing this. He was about to pound again when a voice came through the door. "What is it?" Dev thought the man inside must know all the voices of his friends. But what else was there to do now but speak? He coughed and tried to make his voice raspy, as if he were coming down with a cold.
"Food," he said. "About fucking time. They're rioting back there. I was just about to go back and..."
Belatedly, as the sound of a lock disengaging came to him, he realized Jackson should be up here with his silencer. Dev made sure his safety was on, reversed his rifle, and braced himself for the door to open. It pushed outward, and he took a step to the side to stay behind it until it was open a foot and a half, then slipped around and brought his rifle stock down on the first thing he saw that was at head level. A glancing blow was all it was. The man made a startled sound, staggered back, and then opened his mouth to yell as Dev came around the door. Dev jabbed at his face with the butt of the rifle, hard, feeling better when he heard the solid crack of it against the man's teeth. The man slumped to his knees, weaving. Then his mother was past him, with one of the spare semi-auto pistols in her hand, and she fell on the man, buried the gun in his belly, leaned over him close, and fired. At the same moment, Sierra pulled the door shut. "Think they heard that?" Dev whispered. His mother's choice of shot had been intended to muffle the noise, he knew, but it had seemed plenty loud to him. She checked to make sure the man was not going to move. "Still has a heartbeat, but isn't getting up and running anytime soon." She picked up a flashlight the man had been carrying and had dropped. "Here, take this. I'll be okay in the dark. I have my phone. I'm going to text your father first and tell him that it might be that some of the invaders are here, in that government building across the way. I saw a lot of heads over there through windows while I was watching. He might need to find the others and get them moving this way faster." "No way to know if they heard the shot across the street," Sierra said. "I hope Jackson is careful." "I'll stay up here at the door in case he needs to retreat inside," his mother said. "Go, you two, to the cells, carefully. There might be more guards back there." Dev and Sierra had no idea where they were going, though they'd seen the blueprint. They pulled open an interior door, and there was a room lined with chairs. Around the wall there were three sets of doors, and a heavy meshed window where visitors must be asked to stop and report in. "Gotta be that one," Sierra said, pointing to the door closest to the window. She was holding the flashlight, but there was also light coming through the mesh. "Let's check the other doors and make sure we're alone here," Dev said. Like Sierra, he kept his voice soft. They opened the first door to find a hallway that hadn't been on the blueprint, carpeted, with offices on either side. Dev held up his hand to keep Sierra from following, and ran down the hallway on his toes, but it was all dark and deserted. Back to the main room. The second door out of the main area, the one by the meshed window, was locked. The third opened into a tiled hallway, and he suspected a kitchen might be back there. No sounds came from it, and there was no light. Empty. The door nearest the caged window was locked, and the window didn't yield to his tug on it. Could be another guard is back there. "The dead one has keys, I bet. I'll go get them." Good thought. Dev had been about ready to shoot out the lock. Sierra came back a minute later with a big ring of keys. "There are like 12 on here." "Go on, try them one by one. I'll watch through that window for a second guard back there." In another minute, Sierra had found the right key. The door clicked open, popped out an inch or two, and he waited until she'd pocketed the keys, shoved the lit flashlight into her waistband, and readied herself, rifle in hand. Then, with his toe, he pushed the metal door all the way open. There was an LED lantern on a counter behind the mesh window. That's all the light there was in here. Farther down the hall, it grew dimmer and dimmer. A second locked door was at the end of the corridor. It had a tiny window in it. They made it that far, and Sierra took out the flashlight again and shone it through the window.
Last door. No one in sight back there, she said.
She took out the keys, and Dev held the flashlight for her while she found the right key. When the door snicked open, he heard the prisoners inside, grumbling, yelling, rattling something metallic in an angry rhythm.
We want food!
Five or six of them were yelling in unison. From another door, someone else was yelling for everyone to shut up. These had to be good thick doors in the holding area, for he'd heard only a soft murmur of voices before this. So much for the concept of distracting the guard with noise. Murphy's Law, as Jackson had pointed out. But no matter that his plan hadn't worked, for they'd found their way in here anyway. There were 8 locked doors visible, 4 on either side. As he looked in the first, he was shocked by what he saw. There were 20 men in here, and the place stank. A toilet was piled to overflowing with shit. So crowded. But then he realized, if there were only 8 cells like this, there were fewer than 200 Payson men left alive, out of maybe 4,000 living here in May. That was stunning. A terrible loss. Sierra brought the keys up to the door, ready to try the locks, but he grabbed her wrist.
Wait. Why? We have to let them out.
There's 200 of them and 2 of us. They've been locked up a long time. They're going to come boiling out of there. We'll be trampled to death.
Who is that?
He heard a voice ask.
Is that a woman's voice?
Sierra brought her hand back from the cell door, her face now showing uncertainty.
Who's out there?
And then there was a cacophony of voices, everyone shouting and asking questions at once. Dev tried to shout them down, but it was useless. He shrugged at Sierra. He hadn't thought this far. Like, how do you actually release these guys? Okay, clearly one cell at a time. But then what? They needed toilets, showers, food. He remembered a book he'd read about the liberation of concentration camps in World War II, and how disastrous that was. Almost as bad as the conditions they'd been liberated from, until the Allies had figured out what to do after some terrible weeks. Sierra leaned close to his ear.
I'll try and shut them up, she said.
She pulled off her pack, reached in, and got out the bolt cutters. She swung them hard against the first door, once, twice.
Shut up, everybody!
She yelled. She had to do it on every door twice each, to get the noise down to a low roar, and then she started talking.
Listen to me. We're here to rescue you.
When the voices rose again, she yelled over them.
We don't have much time, so shut up and listen. My name is Sierra Ash.
Sierra? The voice came from a middle cell. She went over to it.
Who is it?
Mr. Alvarez, your science teacher.
Mr. Alvarez, hey, she said. Glad you're still alive.
Is my family? He said. Sierra, do you know anything about my family?
We don't know about your families, Dev called. Any of your families.
Who's that? A voice came.
I'm Devlin Quinn. My family lives outside of town. A few neighborhoods got together and came to Free Payson.
I know you. A new voice came. You did 4-H a few years back, right? Rabbits. I'm Don Lambert. I raise peacocks. Or did.
I need to get back to my boy,
a voice shouted.
Shut up!
Sierra screamed, and she banged the bolt cutters on a metal door again.
Look, there's a problem.
Fucking A. Well told there's a problem,
someone shouted. Sierra yelled back.
No, listen to me. We have a lot of people out there with guns, in a coordinated attack, trying to free your city and help your families. We can't just let you out to go running home.
Why not? Came a voice.
because we all have orders to shoot any grown man we see, unless that man is with us. So no one can go out there until we have the town secured."
Dev hadn't thought of what this was going to be like.
"What do we do with these guys?"
she said to him. He pulled her by the arm back toward the door. "I think we have to wait for the others to come down here, for the town to be free, before we can open any of these cells."
"What if they don't come? They won't come running our way. They'll be moving slowly, clearing the town, making sure they don't get shot from behind. I would, and Wes is smarter than I am."
"I guess we wait here."
"Can you bring us some food?"
a plaintive voice asked. Sierra said,
"That we can do. If there's any here, we'll check the kitchen."
"No, don't go,"
called another voice.
"Tell us what's happened. What are they doing in town? Are people leaving? Fighting back? How many dead?"
"I want to know about my kids," yelled a voice. "Let me out of here."
"Soon,"
Sierra yelled back, but the voices were escalating again.
"I can't hear myself think," she yelled at Dev. "Come on."
She pocketed the keys again. He left the flashlight there, on, balanced on its end, a light to give the imprisoned men some hope. He and Sierra went back through the steel door and shut it, drowning out most of the voices.
"Holy crap. I hadn't even thought about how they'd react," she said.
"Yeah, really. Let's go talk to my mom about it."
"No, wait," he said. "I just got a brainstorm."
"Like one of mine?"
He gave her a look.
"Yes, but watch what I do with mine.
We're going to share it with my mother and discuss it first. I won't go do something unilaterally."
She was teasing when she said,
"Don't lecture me. I'm older than you."
"But not wiser."
"That remains to be seen," she said. "Gosh, Mr. Alvarez. Seems like I knew him in another lifetime, you know?"
"I know. Like me in 4-H. He grabbed up the LED lantern, and they passed through the outer doors to the foyer. His mother was there where they'd left her. "We need to get Jackson inside here," he said. "And I have an idea. Sierra, tell her what we saw and what they said." Carefully, he eased open the front door to look out. There was nothing moving out there, and he couldn't see Jackson tucked up behind the low shrubs. He clicked a signal, and then waved for Jackson to come. He kept the door open just a half inch and waited. He heard the stress on the fence as Jackson climbed the gate, and his footsteps approaching, and Dev swung the door open for him and then shut it, letting it lock again. The enemies would need a key to get in here. They might have one, but the sound of them using it would alert them. "There are about 150, 200 men in 8 cells back there," he said. "Maybe more, if there's another holding area than the one we saw. It's a mess. Our plan isn't going to work."
"They're hungry," Sierra said. "But mostly they're worried about their families and anxious to get out. If we let them run home, they might get shot, not only by the invaders, but by our guys, who are looking for males to shoot. Right?"
"Right," said Jackson. Dev's mom said,
"I'll send Arch another text explaining. If he has a chance to contact the others, he can pass it on."
Jackson said, "No, wait up on that. There are more than a few invaders in that building over there." His mom said,
"I know. I saw heads passing by windows, at least a dozen." "We saw the guards we passed on the street before we came to the jail," Sierra said. "I wonder where the rest of them are."
Dev cleared his throat. "I have an idea."
"Which is what?" Sierra said.
"We ask the men which left women alone, and find a few who can shoot really well and live nearby, and we go knock on a few doors and hand out guns."
"Man, that's chancy,"
Jackson said. His mother said,
"They couldn't have little kids at home and leave them, so you'd have to ask that too."
"Or," Jackson said, "we could stick to the original plan. Get 4 men out here, hand them the weapons, and take them across the street with us. See what we can accomplish there."
"I'm afraid to try and let 4 out," Dev said. "I think you'd stand a good chance of getting trampled to death by the others." We don't have to open every door, Sierra pointed out. Just one,
Dev's mother said. You can use your rifles to enforce the order to move in an orderly line. Dev shook his head. I don't think that's going to work. They're on the verge of rioting in there.
We keep the outer door locked, and they can't go anywhere, Sierra said.
Except at us, he pointed out. And I don't know about you, but I really don't want to shoot one of them to make a point to the rest.
Well, crap, Sierra said. And I thought the hard part was going to be breaking into jail. That was easy compared to the next step.
Jackson made a sound at that. Just thoughtful, not argumentative. No woman in town would have a chance to go to the firing range lately. So while I appreciate your thought, Dev, I don't think that's the way to do it.
Dev's mom said, Nor would the men. Whatever the invaders think about male and female competency, I know that sex doesn't determine the ability to fight. Look at Sierra and how quickly she's learned.
Sierra said,
Another thing is, the men aren't in great shape. Some of them look banged up. Maybe they were beaten by guards.
Dev said, Or they're so crowded, they might have turned on each other. Jackson said, No offense to you, Dev, but I don't like the idea of wandering around on the streets knocking on doors. We run the risk of the roaming guards finding us, or of people not answering, or of some terrified woman jumping out with a butcher knife and slicing one of us up.
Maybe Kelly and me should do it, Sierra said. Women wouldn't scare them like a strange man might. Kelly, is that guard still unconscious?
No, I killed him, she said.
How? Said Jackson, leaning over the man to look. There's hardly any blood, she said.
I'll show you how one day, if we get through this night.
Sierra said,
We have to decide now. Time is not on our side. As far as we know, there's a guard shift change in 5 minutes, or they'll bring over dinner.
If it's one guy bringing food, that might be okay, Jackson said. We could cope with that.
One guy not returning to wherever he came from will bring more to see what's delaying him.
Maybe we should do that then, Dev said.
Wait here. These doors are solid. We can stay safe behind them until he comes.
Remember the grenade launcher, his mother said. They could have a second one.
Or a rocket launcher for all we know, Jackson said. Tear gas, flashbangs, extra keys certainly.
Tick-tock. Said Sierra, pointing at her wrist.
Everyone turned and looked at her.
Sorry, she said, but we do need to decide, even if it's wrong. Out at the other end of town, everyone else is acting. We told them we'd be quick at this.
No, no, said Dev to Sierra. That's the problem with your thinking. Has been all along. It's better to think things through.
Remember what von Clausewitz says? She began.
He cut her off. Von Clausewitz is dead, and I don't want to join him. Are you guys always like this on a mission? Jackson said. Mom, the silent ninja killer, and the two teenagers slap-fighting in the back seat? That made his mom laugh, but Dev was a little offended.
I'd never slap Sierra. No, he'd strangle me from frustration, Sierra said.
I'm feeling some sympathy with that urge, Jackson said. Guys, come on. Focus. Let's figure this out.
The floor of the jail was vibrating. Dev felt it first. I think the inmates have reached the end of their patience.
What? Jackson said, who apparently hadn't felt it, or didn't understand what it meant.
Dev said, You both go back there with Sierra, you and Mom. I'll hold the front door. I need everybody to see what it's like back there to see why we can't just let them out as we'd originally planned.
Dev waited for them to do that and tried to think. The others might be marching this way now. If not, it might be hours before the others appeared. He didn't want to sit here and wait all that time. If only he knew for sure how many were in that building across the street. His mom said a dozen. But what if there were 50? A dozen, he'd be willing to try and take out with the four of them. Twice that many. And it'd be like kicking over a hornet's nest. Too many ifs. They needed better recon is what they needed. How to do that safely?
In less than 10 minutes, the others came back, Jackson looking a little pale.
They are not calming down enough to talk to, not even enough to ask for 4 addresses of potential female combatants. But you are right. We definitely can't open those doors right now.
Yeah, Dev said. I think there should be more like 10 of us here when we release them, and after we're done. 1 cell at a time.
Our plan here was well-intentioned, his mother said, and we will get them out, and by tomorrow.
So attack across the street, or stay and wait, Jackson said. I'm good either way.
Attack, Sierra said. I wish your father had found a delivery system for those grenades, his mom said. That would be ideal. I'd lob a couple through the windows.
Hey, hey, Jackson said. That's it. We need to look around here. There might be riot gear to control the jail. Maybe flashbangs or tear gas. We get a tear gas grenade through one of those windows over there, and they come out coughing. We can pick them off.
Let's look, his mom said. But if we can't find anything in 5 minutes, I say we should at least try to figure out how many are over there. One of us needs to go look. Less than 12. We might be able to take them. More than that, and since we can't recruit 4 of the prisoners, we should wait over here for reinforcements, or go hunting for that patrol we saw.
Dev felt pleased she was echoing his own estimate of their ability. They tore the jail apart, using the dead guard's keys to open cabinets, drawers, and closets. They didn't find tear gas or rifles. They did find batons and 1 armored vest.
Wearing the vest will give us more of an advantage, said Jackson.
Heavier than I imagined, Sierra said, hefting it. Not me.
It won't feel so bad when...
He was interrupted by a pounding at the front door. Chapter 12. They all looked at each other. Sierra mouthed,
What do we do?
Dev's mother elbowed him and pointed. Dev eased closer to the door. In his fake hoarse voice, he said,
Yeah? It's Al. I got the food. Okay, he said.
His mother was directing the other two where to stand. Then she mimed to him to open the door and step back. She said only 1 thing aloud to everyone.
Keep him alive.
She retreated to the inner door and pulled it half closed, giving herself some cover. There was 1 of those emergency release bars on the front door. Dev gave it a push and the door lock released. Then he flattened himself against the wall.
Well, open the damned thing. My hands are full.
Dev reached with his rifle barrel and pushed the door another 2 inches.
Big goddamned help you are tonight. Take one of these, would you? They're heavy.
The door swung open more. The man outside caught it with his foot and pulled at it. When Dev saw the man's shoulder clear the door frame, he lunged forward and grabbed the arm. The man was carrying 2 5-gallon buckets overflowing with vegetables. Dev gave the arm a mighty yank, forcing the man off balance. Sierra and Jackson jumped on him as he yelled. Dev grabbed for the door, glancing around to make sure no one outside was watching. A 3rd bucket of vegetables sat on the sidewalk. He reached for it, pulled it in, and pulled the door shut as fast as he could, though a heavy spring on it fought him. Sierra had a hand clamped on the guy's mouth, but Jackson's rifle pointed at his head was probably what had quieted him down. His eyes wide, he looked from one to another of them. Dev's mom came up.
You see anyone else out there?
No, it looked clear, Dev said.
Dev's mom circled around to look at the man.
You should be ashamed of yourself, the way you treat these prisoners.
What?
The man said, when Sierra let go of his mouth. He looked totally confused.
But that's neither here nor there, she said. What we need from you is not an expression of remorse, but information.
What?
The guy said. He looked around.
Who the fuck are you people? You're judge, jury, and executioners. Jackson said. Shut up and answer the lady's questions.
No, he said. I won't do shit for you. And when I don't get back over there,
Someone will come looking for me, and you'll be over there, Dev's mom said. That's exactly what I want to talk about. Your meeting, it seems. No doubt over our bit of propaganda. Our imaginary attack a few mornings from now. He didn't say anything, but his eyes flashed with anger. Yeah, yeah, it was a lie. The attack is tonight. In fact, this is it.
Four people, he snorted. You wish, Jackson said.
How many are meeting over there? And how many are on the streets patrolling? Dev's mom said.
Don't lie. You'll pay for a lie. Like I'd tell you that. More than four, I'll tell you that much. You people are screwed. You have no idea who you are messing with.
We do have an idea, Sierra said. The lowest of the low. And I've already killed six of you. I'm happy to kill more.
The hell you did, Dev said. She did, actually.
Sierra met his eyes, and she gave him a small smile. We all have, Dev's mom said, which wasn't strictly true. Jackson hadn't killed any of the invaders, so far as Dev knew. And we're extremely angry at you, and we're on a tight schedule here tonight. So you either need to tell us what we need to know, and fast, or you'll die fast, and we'll go on and execute our plan anyway.
I don't believe there are more than four of you, he glanced at Sierra, or that a girl killed any of us.
Sierra aimed her rifle at his leg. I hear getting shot in the knee is painful. What do you think?
If you don't believe she'd happily pull that trigger, then you're an idiot, Jackson said. Sierra, before you shoot him, where are my bolt cutters?
I left them on that desk in there.
Go get them, would you? Jackson said. I think they'll help us get our answers.
So, Dev's mom said, how many are there? We figure no more than 50 total. The ones who came up our way are all dead, dead and cremated. And the children they had are in our care and doing fine, no thanks to you. So that leaves about 30 to 50, we think. Maybe a few more, maybe a few less. So let's start with half of that minimum. Are there 15 men meeting over in that building? And where? Which room?
Downstairs in a front office, most of them. I know that much. And we need the layout of the building.
The prisoner only shook his head, but then his eyes caught on the body of his buddy, and he froze at the sight.
Sierra came back with the bolt cutters. Jackson said, Dev, get some of those flexi-cuffs we found. We'll hog-tie him and...
The man lunged up, despite all the guns on him, but Jackson kicked him back. Sierra swung the bolt cutters at him. A gash opened up on his face. Oops, Sierra said, not an ounce of regret in her voice. You'll have to forgive me. Ever since I had to watch two of you raping a little girl, I've had a very bad attitude about you.
Dev, Jackson said, please, the cuffs.
Dev went to where they'd left the cuffs and pulled a handful out. There was a huge box of them. He played with one on the way back, trying to figure out how it worked. When he returned, Sierra had taken out the handgun she'd been carrying to hand over to a jailed man, and she had it pressed right against the guy's knee. Move. Try to go for any one of us, and I will fire.
Dev said. Hands behind? Jackson said. No, in front of him. But ankles and knees both, if those are long enough for them. May as well double up, and make them tight.
Dev cuffed his ankles first, and then his knees, with Sierra moving back to let him do that. Then he said, hold out your hands. The man's belligerent act, or genuine tough attitude, it didn't matter which, was beginning to break down. Dev could smell a rank sweat coming off him as he cuffed his wrists.
Hold him, Jackson said.
How? Dev said.
From behind, like a bear hug.
Dev didn't want to. He'd end up carrying that foul smell on him. But he did.
Okay, here's what we'll do, Jackson said. The nice lady there will ask you again, and if you don't answer her, I'm going to take these bolt cutters, and I'm going to cut off one of your fingers.
Dev felt the man's arms tense, but he didn't try to lunge up again. Not yet. Dev tightened his grip anyway.
Sierra,
Grab his left hand. Get the pinky out where I can get at it.
Dev glanced up to make sure his mom still had the rifle in hand. Sierra tucked the handgun away in the back of her pants and kneeled down.
Okay, Kelly. Ask again.
How many men are across the street?
His mom said. He shook his head once, a hard jerk. Hold his hands steady, Jackson said, and he gripped the bolt cutters.
Sierra grabbed the smallest finger and tried to hold it out, but the man was curling his hand tightly into a fist. Dev had no idea if Jackson was serious or not. The world had changed so much that this, which would have once been unthinkable, had to be considered a real possibility. And he knew that no matter what they did to the man now, in 5 minutes, or an hour, or tomorrow morning, they'd likely kill him anyway. He felt a little dizzy with the perception shift, where he imagined his future just before his 16th birthday, and how he'd never guessed he would have been kneeling in a jail with his arms around a man, holding him still to be tortured. And yet here he was. Back and forth, his perception shifted. Old Dev's thoughts, new Dev's thoughts, and the newest thought of all. What have we become? Sierra had gotten the ring finger out. She knelt on his bound legs. One of her hands was on his fist, and one held out the end of the finger.
Okay, go on. Just don't accidentally cut me.
The blades of the bolt cutter slipped around the finger. Dev had to hold on tight to keep the man in place as he fought. Jackson gripped the bolt cutter's handles.
Wait, wait, the man said. I'll tell you. There's...
His mom made a disgusted noise.
Go on and cut off a finger first. Then he'll tell the truth. Dev, hold him steady.
Four,
the man said.
Try again, Dev's mom said. I know there's more than that.
Four, there's four,
Sierra said. Maybe not his finger. Maybe his little wiener. That might do it. Dev was shocked to see Sierra drop his wrist and put her hand on the prisoner's zipper.
Hey,
the man said.
Karma, Sierra said. You guys rape, and now we're going to disarm you.
No, no, no,
the man said, twisting hard in Dev's grip. Dev wanted to say the same thing. His genitals were trying to crawl up into his body in sympathy. He looked at Sierra's face and thought she actually might do it. She started unzipping, the rasp seeming louder than it could be.
12. Me and 11 others, the man said. And 6 out on patrol. 1 here at the jail. Over 20 in the barracks. 22 or 23.
Where's that? Jackson asked.
It's an apartment building,
he named it, and Jackson and Dev's mom nodded. They must both know of it. Dev's mother said,
Do they have anyone else with them? Anyone from Payson?
There's a girl, but she stays with us. I mean, it's her choice.
He shot a nervous look at Sierra.
How old a girl?
Sierra said, and she was smiling as she said it, but it was a smile Dev never wanted to see aimed at him.
She's 20. I swear it, 20.
Okay, Jackson said, pulling back the bolt cutters. I think that might be the truth. Now describe the layout of the place and where the men are. He described the office building and a big meeting room, and it sounded like it was probably the truth. Sierra's hand was still hovering over his zipper, and that might have helped.
Kill him?
Sierra said, pulling the handgun from the back of her jeans.
No, Dev's mom said. We might need him again. Let's drag him back to the cells.
If you put me in with them, they'll kill me, the man said. Go on and shoot me. It'd be better than what they'd do to me.
Dev said. We can lock him in that central area. Then they can't tear him apart.
Check his pockets for keys and a knife first, his mom said.
I don't think he can get out of those cuffs, but there's no reason to take a chance.
Dev eased him to one side and then to the other and checked his pockets. He was gentle with the man. What they had done to him, threatened to do, were going to do more than likely, was weighing on him. It's one thing to shoot invaders in your own yard
who are shooting at you or your folks or stealing your food. It's another to do it on behalf of someone else, somewhere other than home. Yeah, these were bad men, horrible men, taking what wasn't theirs, mistreating women in one way, men in another, children in yet a third. Maybe they deserved to die, but did they deserve torture, or to be shot while trussed up like this? Then he realized that the man hadn't been tortured, only threatened with it. They hadn't done so much as slapped him. That made Dev feel marginally better, but he wasn't rough with the man at all. He said, "Okay, I'm going to pull you through the hall. Want to go feet first or head first?" "Head," the man said. Al? Had that been his name? Or the dead guards? Probably better to think of him as an anonymous bad guy anyway. Devlin took the keys, dragged the man by the collar, back through the door, and the hallway, and then he unlocked the final door. When he opened it, the din was considerably reduced. In fact, only a few voices were talking. "It's just me," Dev called out. "There's food out here, raw vegetables, but they aren't clean. Today's harvest, looks like. We'll feed you as soon as we can," a voice said. "Devlin Quinn?" It was the peacock man, Mr. Lambert. "Yes, sir," he said. "We're sorry we were so crazy before. I know you can't understand how it has been in here, and it's no excuse. But we are sorry. We're calm. We're ready to come out." "I can't do that."
"Then why are you here?"
shouted another voice. Immediately someone hushed him. "I brought a prisoner. One of them, not of you." There was a strange silence then. Dev glanced down and saw the trussed man had gone stark white. "But I'm not putting him in with you," Dev said. "I know we couldn't last long in there."
"Thank you," the prisoner said. "It's a kindness you in no way deserve," Dev said. "But we aren't any of us as low as you."
He was trying to convince himself of that as much as he was trying to convince this invader of it. "If it's up to me, you'll have a trial. Be put in jail. Be treated in jail just as you treated these men." A stirring in the cells.
"Dev?" said Mr. Lambert. "Is there any way we can talk you into letting us out?"
"I tell you what," Dev said. "We might be willing to let eight of you out." They had the four extra weapons, but now they also had the batons they'd found, and they could use the increase in troop size to make it 12 against 12 across the street.
"If the others agree to it, we'll be out here with the guns. If we open a cell door and you rush us, or try to get out the next door, which is locked and you can't, we'll have to stop you. And I really don't want to hurt you. We're here to help you. So, Mr. Lambert, because I know you, I'm going to suggest we pick your cell. Everybody else," he said loudly, as a murmur started up in the other cells. "Everybody else, you just sit tight for now. This will be over tonight."
"So, Mr. Lambert, in your cell, we need four men who can shoot really well, two with a rifle, two with a semi-auto handgun, and four men who are fittest, not hurt, can run and punch, and also know which end of a gun is which in case we capture one. You figure out who that is while I'm gone, and I'll see what my group thinks of it. Is that something you're willing to agree to?"
"Yes," Mr. Lambert said, without hesitation.
"Well, you all talk about it for 2 or 3 minutes and make sure. I'll be right back." He left the trussed man leaning against a wall, then returned to the others and told them what he'd promised Mr. Lambert, and he apologized to his mother. "I know you're in charge. If you say no, I'll go back and tell them that."
"No, I'm fine with it," she said, "if everyone else is. But I really hope they don't charge us. I'd hate to shoot the people we're trying to befriend."
"Me too," Jackson said.
Sierra said, "We're just trusting that they'll know what they're doing? And that they'll take orders?"
"Yes," Dev's mom said. "Arch and I talked about that before. We thought they'd be grateful to have someone lead them. Maybe we were wrong. But if I act professional about it,
I think they'll fall in line.
Okay, Sierra said. If you're happy about it, Kelly, I'll go along. Not saying the back of my neck isn't going to be crawling when these strangers have guns and are behind me.
They may not all be strangers, Dev said. Your math teacher is in one cell, and Mr. Lambert.
Who is that?
His mom said.
Don Lambert, from 4-H?
Don't remember him, she said.
Okay, we've wasted enough time. Let's go.
They ended up letting 9 out. Mr. Lambert said he was neither spry enough to be useful in hand-to-hand combat, nor a good shot. But Dev's mom recognized him and let him out anyway. There was a collective sigh of frustration as she closed the door on the other men left in the cell.
We're trusting you not to kill that prisoner, Dev's mom said to Lambert. We might need him for more information, so here are the keys. If we pound on the front door, let us in. 3 knocks, then 2. That'll be our signal. If you're in the kitchen, prop open the other doors with a chair so you can hear us no matter where you are.
I'll wait right by the door for you.
I was thinking that you could clean these vegetables they brought and distribute them. They have little slots for delivering food on the cell doors, I see. You do not, under any circumstances, let anyone else out of a cell, right?
They're hoping they'll get out soon.
Might be as late as morning, she said. And then she held a hand up to stop him from saying whatever he'd been thinking of saying. I know it will seem a long time, but it isn't, and we need to clear the town of all enemies. It's dark and cloudy. 3 of us have night vision capability, but your contingent won't, and most of the others trying to liberate the town won't. They could and would shoot you if you go wandering around town. It could take 6 or 8 hours, I'm saying, before the jail is emptied. I'm trusting you about this. Don't open those cells.
I understand, said one of the men. That makes sense, but we're really hungry,
Sierra said to him. You can rinse the vegetables in the next 5 or 10 minutes. We probably won't be back that quick.
Jackson said to the others, And you 8 won't break and go for your homes? Because if we do this right, it'll be done tonight, and then everybody can go home and start to pick up the pieces. But if you run off on your own and we mess it up, then who knows if or when you'll have your homes back, or if you'll survive.
One of the men nodded.
We talked about it. We can agree to that.
Okay, Dev's mom said. We'll give this a go. Distribute the guns.
She took out the handgun from her pack, a Glock, and said, Who is comfortable with this? 2 hands went up. The other 3 firearms went to the men who'd volunteered. Dev was more than a little nervous having a loaded gun in the hands of these strangers, now that Sierra had planted that idea in his head. But he should have thought about that hours ago, when his father told him about the plan. Not now. His mom watched the men with the guns check their weapons. They knew what they were doing. She had no extra magazines, but some spare ammunition, which she distributed.
It's not much, so choose your shots carefully.
Okay, everyone. Remember, I'm in charge. Sierra, Dev, you'll take the rear, and once we're up close, you 2 circle around to the back of the building. Everybody else? Remember, they are back there, and avoid taking any shot that would pass through a front and then back window. Jackson, you and me lead in front. If we see that guard again, you can use your silencer, and we might just get away with the first kill without warning the others inside. Guys, remember, my son and Sierra are going to be coming in from the rear. So if you get inside, don't shoot out the back. Let them deal with everything back there.
A new man spoke up. We shoot to kill?
Absolutely, she said.
Are you not okay with that?
I'm 100% okay with it, he said. He had some old bruises on his jaw.
A third man said, Looking forward to it, you might say. You have no idea what went on here.
We have some idea, Sierra said.
We do. No more talk, Dev's mother said. We need to move. New people, follow our lead. We have signals, we have experience. So don't get too far from us. And when I say to retreat, we retreat back here. Again,
No running through the street to your homes because you think it's clear. Other invaders are out there with weapons, and our people will be coming soon, and you'll probably just get yourself shot if you try. Wait for my orders." They all nodded. Dev studied their faces, and thought they might obey that instruction. Hard to say. Sometimes, when bullets were flying and things were happening fast, you couldn't seem to help doing what your heart told you, not what you knew was tactically sound. These weren't experienced fighters. They were shop owners and tradesmen. He hoped they'd fall into line. Dev's mother had Jackson take the keys and unlock the front gate. While he did, she talked to the four they'd given batons, and then Jackson came back in. They were ready. Mr. Lambert stayed behind as they filed out. Lightning struck again as Dev emerged, the lightning closer than before, and the whole street was clearly illuminated for that moment. No one was on the street, but Dev finally saw how wide the street was. Few trees lined it. A row of low bushes were not a lot of cover, but there was another box for utilities by the building they were aiming for, which was some cover. His mom and Jackson were already across the street, with pairs of men trailing them, aiming for that. Dev tapped Sierra and pointed to their left. She turned and watched that direction, while he watched to the right. And good thing he did, for just as his mother was hunkering down behind the metal box, a man came around the corner, the glow of the end of a cigarette giving him away. Dev had no other choice. The rifle shot would alert the enemy, but the man would too if left alive. He fired. The crack of the rifle was loud. The man fell, but Dev didn't take even a moment to feel satisfaction at the accuracy of the shot. He saw that some of their men had frozen at the noise and yelled, "Go! Get to cover!" Dev sprinted and said Sierra's name. She fell into step just behind him as he made for the corner of the building. There was a wide driveway, and as the lightning struck again, almost simultaneously with thunder, he could see it led to a large parking lot in the rear. He pounded down the driveway and heard Sierra on his heels. To his left were dark windows. The room where they were talking was off a central hallway at the front of the building, and the man they'd captured said no one was in any other room except maybe the men's room. A truck and a car were parked close to the building, near a rear door. "Truck," he said to Sierra. "For cover." Gunfire erupted from the front of the building. He and Sierra made it to the truck and ducked behind it. "Can you see with the goggles?"
"I can barely see, period. That lightning flash temporarily blinded me."
"Leave them off then," he said. "I'm okay." Through his scope, there were no human forms. A crack of thunder was so loud, it drowned out his voice and the gunfire. A burst of air came, cool air, blowing hard across the open concrete. He could hear a can rattle along in its force. And then the skies opened up, and rain came pouring down. That was going to make it harder to see. But it would also make it harder to see them. And for now, the men inside might be engaged by the gunfire out front.
"We need to make the building now. And not get shot.
Move while the enemy is still surprised and disorganized." He ran around the truck, going for the rear door. He waited for Sierra to catch up, and then grabbed the handle to the back door and pulled it. But it didn't move. Locked. Damn. He should have thought about that.
"A window was open to the right," Sierra whispered.
"Go for it," he said. She led him along the back wall of the building through a flower bed filled with what felt like dead flowers crunching under his boots. There was a window, cracked open 4 inches, backed by Venetian blinds.
"Noisy," he said.
She handed him her rifle, reached up and grabbed the sill, and pulled herself up. She rolled through the window, the blinds making a soft noise of rustling plastic. And then her hand appeared again, fingers outstretched, barely visible. He put her rifle into it, and then pushed his through. A second later, he felt her take it. The rain was coming harder with every second, and his hair was already soaked in dripping rivulets of rain down his face. He jumped up,
and a second later slipped through the window. Dev whipped his head so that the water sluiced off his hair, rubbed his face with his shoulder, and watched her open the room's door an inch and peek through the opening. A slit of dim light was visible. Sierra was holding his rifle out.
Clear, she said. Ready?
One sec. He wiped his hands on his jeans and took up the rifle, patting it dry against his shirt. Go. She opened the door all the way and disappeared. He was a second late to follow her, checking his grip on the rifle, because he didn't want his hands to slip at the wrong time. The gunfire continued up front, but sporadically. From the sound of it, his people hadn't breached the front door. All the enemy in here could still be alive, and there was no guarantee their prisoner had told them the truth about how many. He hated being in a strange territory, and longed for his own woods and home, where familiarity gave him an advantage he'd not fully appreciated until right this second. The light at the end of the hallway grew stronger as they inched forward. He clicked a signal to Sierra. Shoot right. He'd check left, toward the rear of the building, but he didn't think anyone would be in that direction. She slowed, waiting for him to catch up, and they went forward at the same pace, hugging tight to their own walls. No one was visible from the end of the hall. Sierra turned her head, caught his gaze, nodded, and then stuck her head out, her rifle up and ready. He took a step forward and checked the left. A wider hallway went from the front to the back of the building, ending at the locked door they'd tried. No one was in sight. Across the hall and toward the front of the building, there were double glass doors leading to what had to be the correct room. A big meeting room, the trust man had said. He said to Sierra, "See anyone?"
"No, but..."
Gunfire came from outside and was answered from that room.
"That's where they are."
"Glass door," he said.
"Think it's bulletproof?"
"No idea," he said. It was a government building, so it wasn't impossible that it was hardened against terrorist attacks. It struck him that depending on whose perspective you took, he was the terrorist in this case. From his own perspective, the invaders were. Like some coup had happened, and they were illegally holding a building he wanted to return to the control of the legitimate leaders of the town. If there were any of them left alive. Probably not. You'd think if any of them were in jail, they'd have mentioned, "Hey, I'm the mayor," or whatever.
"What do we do?"
Sierra said, bringing him back to the moment and the problem at hand. "Let's try to shoot out the glass from here."
"Giving up the element of surprise," she said.
"Can't think of anything else to do. We can't walk up to it. They'll see us. And that's not how I want to find out if the glass is bulletproof or not."
"All right," she said,
stepping out into the hallway and raising her rifle.
"Ready?"
"One sec," he said. And he dried his hands again. They weren't wet with rain this time. They were sweating. He was at least as worried for Sierra as he was for himself. She was so beautiful standing there, her hair dampened by the rain, curling around her face, her height seeming greater by the power of her focus and intensity. She nearly glowed with that force. "Don't get hurt," he said, and he'd never meant the words more.
"Ready?"
she said again, not turning to look at him. She was intent on the glass doors, as he should be. He raised his rifle and aimed at a bit of printing on the door, the letter E, and took a breath. He let it half out as she said,
"Set? Now!"
He fired, and the E disappeared in a fury of cracks through the glass. He fired again. The second time he fired, the glass exploded inward. His hearing was momentarily shocked, but as it came back, he heard shouting in there. He kept his rifle up and his focus on the door. A flash was all he saw, and then three rounds hit the hall wall. Sierra sprinted for the far wall of the wide hallway and pressed herself against it. Dev threw himself back to where she'd been in this side hall, pressing himself tight and staying back a foot. The door wasn't visible from here, and so they couldn't hit him,
unless a lucky shot penetrated straight through two walls and found him. Sierra fired a shot across the broken door, and it hit the wall by the front door. "Friendly fire,"